For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
It is that time, our time. Those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith. I'm in the studio. He is at the Golf Cave Timbergate Golf Course in Edinburgh, Indiana. And we've got the Masters going on.
Heck yeah.
But we're not there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, dang it. You know,
well, what can I say? We do have coming up, however, a little later in the show, a woman who has been there on many an occasion and has – I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? She has cemented in art the beauty that is Augusta National. I think she's communicated it very well. Linda Hartow is her name. We've had her on before. She's a great golf artist, and the Masters Tournament is the first – introduction she had to a golf course landscape architecture. Landscape portraiture. So she's going to be on a little later on the show. What we're going to talk about, however, is the nemesis of most amateur golfers: pitching.
Pitching.
Pitching with a P. Pitching
usually begets something that rhymes with pitching.
Yes,
right after. They don't do it very well.
That doesn't start with a P. Yes.
No, it doesn't.
We got that. It is an art in and of itself. So I guess art would be the overall theme of the entire show. The art of the short game and the art of golf in general. But little things.
You just made that up, didn't you?
I did, on the fly. I'm good. I learned that at DJ school.
Sound pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget what it was called. I didn't pay that close attention to DJ school. Okay.
I just learned how to do it.
That's it.
I didn't know what it was called.
I just did it. I didn't care. But that is something that we have done on many an occasion. We have talked about. And on many an occasion, y'all have asked some more questions about it. It is probably the one thing that Jeff spends more time teaching, or at least he should spend more time teaching, because it's probably the one element that makes or breaks the round for an amateur golfer, I would imagine. It is for me, anyhow. If I'm doing it well, I'm scoring well. If I'm not doing it well, you know, the one opportunity I have to putt for par is like 30 feet away. Not cool.
No, so, no, it's not.
We know you have problems with this, and if you want to fix it, then what you will do is sit down and pay rapt attention. Rapt attention is necessary for what it's worth coming. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Do not move. Do you have problems taking pills? You're not alone. A lot of guys do. So I have a suggestion for you. I want you to try Blue Chew. .com. Because at BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the active ingredients sildenafil or tadalafil. That's the same active ingredients as in Viagra and Cialis. And it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. There's no in-person doctor visits. There's no awkward conversations. There's no waiting in line at the pharmacy. This ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. Now, the chewables from BlueChew.com are made right here in the USA, and you and your partner will love it. Got a great offer, a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code GOLFGUYS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code GOLFGUYS. Hey, chew it and do it. And order now, BlueChew.com/GOLFGUYS. Hi, this is John Ashton, and I'm going to make a confession right now. I don't work out anywhere near as much as I should. What that means is when I do play golf, sometimes I strain a little bit, stress out some muscles that probably I should work on. Now, whether you're an elite athlete, you're just a regular person like me, or you're just, you know, the stress of daily life is getting to you, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing, and it hurts. And that is why I use, and I suggest you do too, a Theragun. It's a handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And now it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. You can try a Theragun for 30 days. There is no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power you need, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/weekend right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/weekend. Theragun.com/weekend. Thanks for hanging and coming back. We are this weekend golf guys. John Ashton here, Jeff Smith there, the number one golf instructor in the state of Indiana, according to Golf Digest magazine. And I think that editor at Golf Digest had taken a couple of lessons from you on chipping. That's why you got that. Well, maybe not.
Can I move yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I can move. Okay, good. I was frozen in time through that whole break. I sat there. John gave the command, do not move. And I sat there as the obedient person that I am. You know, sometimes we do this just for our own fun, folks. No.
Follow along, if you will. But I assume that would be probably the best lesson that you give to anybody, is teaching them how finally to perfect the art of chipping, pitching, the short game, the I'm 20 yards away from the green or closer. What the hell do I do now?
You know, people spend so much time. They want to hit the driver. They want to hit the driver. They want to hit the driver. And everything's about the full swing and ball flight. And then they neglect the thing. You know, once they get near the green and all of a sudden their game goes straight to the high score land,
yep,
the toilet, so to speak, right?
Yep.
Because they don't really get it. They all just think, well, it's a short shot. Therefore, it's easy. Therefore, I won't practice it. Next thing you know, they're sticking the club in the ground and sculling shots and you get all kinds of nasty things happening. And there is an art to it, as you've mentioned. There is a thought that you can take a couple of deep breaths, put the ball just left of center, and take a half a swing and slide the club right below the golf ball and have a beautiful pitch shot. Leaping up into the air, landing softly on the green, somewhat like a butterfly with sore feet, trundling out toward the hole. Right? You like that description?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down. A butterfly with sore feet. Gotcha.
Yeah. So when you think about it, pitching can be done differently to get different results. Mm-hmm. But the art of it is still, how can I get this club to slip under my ball?
Right.
Slide right under it. Graze the turf right below the golf ball.
Mm-hmm. Without taking a large chunk thereof.
Right. You noticed all those words and thoughts that I was giving you, those images, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all about the bottom of the club gliding atop the ground below the golf ball.
Right.
And as I talk to people about that, I'm putting those images into their head. Because a lot of times they come in and they come in with that leading edge crashing down into the turf, digging as if it were a bulldozer,
mm-hmm,
plowing into the turf. And there are things that can be done that are far more delicate, that are very successful, and they don't require a lot of force. You know, a lot of times I talk to people about, how am I going to get this done? In order to get this ball to pop up into the air, fly softly, land softly onto the green, trickle out, flop into the hole. How am I going to get all that done? Well, the first thing is you got to go to contact and you say, what happened at contact? What kind of loft did I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
What, did I have enough loft facing up? And did I get the bottom of that club? You know, the bounce angle that people love to talk about that, right? It's the sole plate of the club. And there's a certain angle that it sits at. But you know what we want with the leading edge? We want that to be level with the turf coming through. And we want the bottom of the club sliding and gliding across the top of the turf. So that way it's cruising, the club is cruising through the grass. And that bottom of the club acts like a rudder on a boat.
There,
and all of a sudden it just slides through. Things get easy.
there's a question going through most of our heads at this very moment.
Yes.
That being the lie that most of us have for one of these pitches is, mm-hmm. is usually, let's just say there's not a whole lot of clearance between the bottom of the ball and the top of the turf.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of room for error there, man.
John, you've left it short, but managed to be straight. So you're in the fairway.
Right.
Now, the thing that I always want to tell people about it is when you walk down the fairway, John, are they rock hard fairways? Or is there some cushion because of that grass that's on top, right?
Yeah, they're not rock hard, yeah.
And I want to point that out because a lot of people automatically assume just because the grass is cut short and the ball is not elevated because it's not sitting in the rough, that these fairway lies are hard. No, they're not hard because the grass that the ball is sitting tightly on top of is soft.
Yeah, but there ain't that much of it.
No, there isn't that much of it, but I bet you there's a whole lot more there than what you're giving it credit for.
Okay.
Oddly enough, we are allowed to kind of find that out with our feet.
Yeah.
There's no rule against, say, taking a practice swing.
True.
And feeling how firm underneath it is. And then what if we just put the ball just ever slightly left of center, front of center?
Mm-hmm.
For all of you lefties out there, I don't want to leave you out. Front of center. And what if we thought, boy, I'm going to get the bottom of the arc of my swing to be dead below the golf ball at the time it gets there? Wouldn't that be great? Now, I don't have to turn my face open. I can leave it pretty well square to my target because, you know, I've got that little rudder on the bottom of that club called the bounce angle, and it helps slide it through there. And I can keep that leading edge on the ground. Oddly enough, here's a funny thing for you, John. I want you to pay very close attention to this next little bit. You can actually set your club on the ground squarely toward your target with the leading edge touching the grass and the trailing edge also touching the grass and have effectively very little bounce angle and slide it across the turf. And you know what it would do? It would get below the golf ball.
Huh. Like magic.
It's kind of like magic.
Yeah.
Instantly. Try to imagine, if you will, John, a doorstop.
Okay.
You know, that kind that you kick underneath the door, not the one that you flip down.
The little rubber
wedge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine that has a flat bottom on it?
It does.
And it has loft to it, doesn't it?
It does.
And yet,
from the side, it would look a lot like a pitching wedge.
It would look like a pitching wedge, wouldn't it?
That.
And it could come in sliding on that turf on the floor, which is hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do it with some carpet that's also tightly cut, but it's got some softness to it. And it would get right below the bottom of that door every time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, on paper.
Yeah, on paper it works, doesn't it? Yeah, guess what? It also works when you do that with a golf club to a golf ball.
If you do it right, yeah.
So what happens, John, a lot of people screw this up because they flip the face open and they raise the leading edge mm-hmm. and they lower the trailing edge. And yet it's not a necessity.
Ah, so it doesn't get under the ball when you do that.
That's right. So it doesn't go under the ball and it doesn't scull it because the leading edge is not up.
Hmm.
The leading edge is, let's say, touching the surface, and the bottom edge is also touching the surface. Next thing you know, you have just the right kind of rudder to go through there. Isn't that fun? So I look at things and think, man, this is easy. And people go, yeah, it really is. So I take away their golf ball, and I have them do that and scuff the turf. And they get that and they're like, wow, I'm really scuffing right here at the right spot. Yeah. And I go, okay, good. Now I'll just put a golf ball there and go scuff the turf in the same spot. And they go do it and they don't chunk it and they don't blade it. And the ball pops up in the air and it lands on the green and trickles toward the hole. And they mm-hmm. just look at me going, why is it supposed to be that easy?
Yeah.
You make this easy. Why is this not harder? I've been making this too hard. I'm like, yes, I know.
Yes.
The whole ball back. Jam the hands forward, tilt the face. Next thing you know, the leading edge is going to pierce the turf and drive into the ground. And they have this steep angle of attack of the club coming into the ground as opposed to something shallow and wide and sliding under. And they don't get that until they do it a few times. And now all of a sudden, golf got easy.
It got real easy. Listen,
their pitching has now stopped them from rhyming with pitching.
Yeah. Well, maybe, at least until they forget
about that,
or they don't practice enough and they mess it up. If you are one of us who's straight yet short and whose first putt is usually a pitch, then you really need to hang out, because there's a lot more information about how not to screw it up when we come right back. We are the Weekend Golf Guys. Hang with us. Of course, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/golfguys. We would love it if you were to go there and like us, facebook.com/golfguys. Are you familiar with the Greek god of balls? His name is Testicles, a very minor mythological figure, I will admit. Every year they'd have this festival where the guys would get together and they'd pull out their nose hair and their ear hair. You could hear the screaming from miles away. That stuff hurts, but it doesn't have to. You can't live with it, though, because this stuff's gross. 79% of people asked said, yeah, nose hair, yuck. So what I need you to do is to check out a thing called the Manscaped Performance Package. This is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Included in this new package from Manscaped is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. It's waterproof. It uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. And the nose and the ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks and snags and tugs and all those delicate holes. Plus, in this bundle is included the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Testicles himself says this is the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. And the performance package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GOLFGUYS right now at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GOLFGUYS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code GOLFGUYS. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Make sure your balls look great during the process. Do it in honor of Testicles. manscaped.com/GOLFGUYS.
Stunning.
You don't have to hit a shot to fall in love with the Pete Dye and Donald Ross courses at French Lick Resort. Our hotel and golf packages are the way to go. Add the casino and spas, and it's a road trip for the memory book. Safely get back to the game you love with one of the packages found online at FrenchLick.com. Legendary golf at French Lick Resort. A breath of fresh air.
Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Do you have problems taking pills? You're not alone. A lot of guys do. So I have a suggestion for you. I want you to try Blue Chew. .com. Because at BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the active ingredients sildenafil or tadalafil. That's the same active ingredients as in Viagra and Cialis. And it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. There's no in-person doctor visits. There's no awkward conversations. There's no waiting in line at the pharmacy. This ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. Now, the chewables from BlueChew.com are made right here in the USA, and you and your partner will love it. Got a great offer, a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code GOLFGUYS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code GOLFGUYS. Hey, chew it and do it. And order now, BlueChew.com/GOLFGUYS.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's us, those Weekend Golf Guys. After this hour with us, you are going to never miss a chip or a pitch again. Right, Jeff?
Well, look,
money
I
back
love
guarantee.
Hyperbole like anybody. But what do you say we lace that a little bit with some truth? Okay.
Well.
You'll get a heck of a lot better. How about that?
A heck of a lot better. We'll accept a heck of a lot better. We certainly will. because right now anything would be an improvement.
Yeah. So let's think about the guys. You know, earlier we talked about the tighter lie in the fairway, and I talked about the sliding and the slipping it under and scuffing the surface and all those things, right? Mm-hmm. And all that has a shallow angle of attack, right? And right. I mean shallow, like it's not coming in for a plane coming in for a crash landing. It's like a plane coming in onto the airstrip with coming in for a belly landing.
Right.
Coming in very shallow angle, not trying to dent the bottom of the plane very much, trying to skim it along.
Like Sonny Sullenberger did in the Hudson River.
Something a lot like that, except they didn't get to see the angle of attack there. So
it didn't sink, so it had to be perfect.
It didn't. It had to have been pretty good, right? So let's think about the times when the ball's sitting up in the rough, all right? So there's a lot of people out there who make a pretty grave mistake. They flip the face open.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm in the rough. I got to carve it out of there. My ball's got to get up. I need to open up my face. And they turn the thing. And next thing you know, the leading edge goes up and the trailing edge goes down. But the worst part here is this. They lose the height of the face. John, imagine that you hold up a pen out in front of your face at a 45-degree angle to the right. And then all of a sudden you flip the face open and you lower the back edge of the club so much so it's very flat. Almost now the face is pointed so far to the sky that you have lost the back part of the face. It's no longer angled up any.
Right.
I mean, enough you could touch it. You'll slide right under the ball now because the ball's up in the grass.
Yeah.
And then you swing down through it and slide right under.
You know, many of us have done that. And there is nothing more embarrassing.
And then the ball goes like a foot.
Yeah, yes. Nothing more embarrassing.
And then you have pretty much the same shot you just had, except there's a lot of egg on your face at that moment when you do it. And then guess who also rushes the very next shot so that they don't dawdle any longer about that and get out of that location as fast as humanly possible.
And to stop the other three guys from laughing.
Yeah, to instantly try to hit a shot where they have to stop laughing enough to actually go play their shot instead of waiting on you again.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, folks, if your ball's sitting up in the rough, do the smart thing. Don't open up the face. Okay? You can always put the ball a little bit more forward in your stance and get the bottom of the arc of the club to be right below the ball, like I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a taller face at that point, so it'll sweep through the grass and catch higher up on the face, and it'll actually project it forward because it won't just whiff right underneath. So do yourself that favor when it sits up in the rough.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I tell people to do when they're in the rough is to hover the club and change the length of the club, make it a tiny bit shorter.
Why?
So you don't whiff underneath it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a novel concept, right?
Yeah.
Ball's up on a tee. You don't want to swing right below it and go down below it. So it's okay to make the club a little shorter.
How do you know or how thick does that grass have to be before it actually turns the club when the club face hits the grass?
Oh, this is a fun little conversation now. Why don't you ask that question again so that our listening audience can hear this? Because I think you're saying something along the lines that we hear all the announcers on TV say. You want to ask that again?
How thick does that grass have to be before it actually turns the club when the club face hits the grass?
Yeah. Right. Because a lot of the announcers say stuff like, oh, the rough grabbed and wrapped around the hosel and the face twisted left.
Yeah.
I have a question about that.
Okay.
Is the clump of rough only on the hosel side of the club and not on the toe side of the club? And if so, did you hit the grass, that particular clump of grass, well before you hit the golf ball? Because both of those things would have to be true in order for that club to have twisted left and the ball shoot off left, because they say that stuff all the time, don't they?
But they're contractually obligated to make it look like any mistakes are not the fault of the said golfer.
Yeah, true as that may be, they could come up with some more evidence and some fact that would be really terribly helpful.
So what you're telling me is that it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that to answer your question, what about the rough being so thick? How dense does it have to be to affect the club? Well, the first thought I have is take a practice swing in very similar grass and find out.
You're just such a practical so-and-so, man. Come on.
I know. I mean, you think about that. How would anybody else answer that question? You go, well, I'm not sure the density of the grass. I'm not sure how thick it is, how dry it is, how wet it is. How is it Bermuda? Uh-huh. Is it bent? Is it against the grain? Is it with the grain?
So many questions. Oh boy.
So why not just take a practice swing with something that is similar looking in appearance and test it out?
That is a novel concept for you right there.
Okay.
That's why you're making the big bucks, buddy. That's why you're making the big bucks.
I like to talk in practicalities as much as I can. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Think about it. It's basically the biggest thing that happens in the rough is twofold. It slows the club down, right?
Right.
If there's a big, thick grass behind the ball, it slows the club. Usually it's the entire head, by the way, not just, you know, the tassel part and the toe gets to pass, right? It's usually the fact that it slows the club, but sometimes it's very dense and thick and doesn't allow the club to get down below the ball as much, right? Mm-hmm. So not only is it making it go slower, but maybe it's more resistance in its downward travel. Okay. In which case, you better figure that out. I wonder how you could do it.
Practice swing?
Yeah. Find some similar grass and test it out, right? Because then you'll change. You'll change how abrupt you are. You'll change how steep you come in. You'll change how much force you put. And then you're going to have to change your ball position. Because can you imagine a ball in thick rough? In order for it to travel, to the right distance, don't you need to say swing it a little harder because the grass is going to slow the club down? Don't you need to apply a little bit more force?
You would think so.
And then when you do that, doesn't the ball necessarily come out at a more predictably far distance?
You would think so.
Yeah. So how the heck are we going to offset the swinging hard to make sure we get through the grass? And all of a sudden, if we swing hard, get through the grass, and then it's still going a little faster than we need to, and it hits the ball, doesn't that mean the ball's going to go far? How do we offset that?
We have no idea.
Loft.
Open up the club face.
Well, add loft somehow, right?
Okay. Okay.
Maybe take a higher lofted club to begin with.
Okay.
Possible.
Could work.
Maybe we put the ball really close to the bottom of the arc of the swing, which tosses the ball straight up in the air when we hit it with lots of clubs.
Yeah.
Or maybe then we open up the club face a little bit. Maybe. Right? So we have possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
But loft is the offsetting factor of the speed that the ball would come off because it has to go. If it's coming out faster because we had to swing harder through the rough to make sure we wouldn't dump it short again because, John, you've seen playing partners of yours have done that on occasion.
All of them do, yes.
Right. And so that means the club needed to be forced through the grass a little bit tougher, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit firmer.
Yep.
And then the ball still has to come out softly. So we need more loft. We see that on tour, as a matter of fact. Yes. Although we don't like to talk about the tour guys, but we see it all the time, right? You see them swinging big swings, look aggressive in the thick rough, and the ball comes out high and soft. And you go, how'd they do that?
Yeah.
They added loft.
Most of us, 60 degrees is the highest lofted club in our bag. How dangerous is it for an amateur to try to change the loft by opening up the face a little bit? I mean, because that changes everything, doesn't it?
It does. It just like I mentioned earlier, it certainly lowers the height of the face, right?
Right.
And it raises the leading edge and it exposes the bottom of the club. So it's situational.
Yeah.
You know, this is that typical teacher answer that you hate. Well, John,
it depends.
It depends. I know that you hate that because you walk down the grocery store aisle and you see that and you go, dang it. He says that all the time.
I know. I asked him once boxers are brief. He said, it depends. So
so you bought some and you so the reality of it is we have to understand every shot is situational and we got to figure that out. And you're going, come on, man, can't you just give me a straight answer? And the answer is I always do.
Yeah.
Read the situation. What does it call for?
Yeah. So this is just another way of you saying two things you need to do. One is take a lesson so you're cognizant of your opportunities in the different conditions, and the other is practice.
I love how you sum it up so well.
Again, totally self-serving, but it made the point.
But, you know, here's the fun part about that. You know, let's say that the golfer that's listening to us now does not have a golf professional that they know, like, and trust. Well, then just – contact me.
Yeah.
I'll do it online. We'll go through an online lesson or I'll use my iconic platform and I'll help you there. Send me a note and we will help. There's all kinds of ways that we can help. But if you have a golf professional nearby you that you know, like, and trust, ask them and pay them for a golf lesson, for gosh sakes.
Yes, indeed. Maybe two or three. Because with one lesson, you're looking for a miracle, and you're going to have to pay for a miracle.
Well, so. Depends on who.
Right? Once again, it depends.
I love it. I get you stirred up every week, don't I?
Oh, man. The Masters is going on. It is Masters Sunday. It was so strange to be like making Thanksgiving. Some of us are doing Christmas decorations while watching the Masters final round. That just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
It's two festive occasions, and we decided to morph them together this time. Now, how interesting is that?
2020 has just broken me. It's just, I'm done.
Come on, you can't take two wonderful things and put them together.
Yeah,
can't do it. Right?
It's just overload of celebration. I can't handle it. Linda Harto, who is an artist, yes, renowned golf artist, who started her career basically at the Masters, or at least at Augusta National, is coming up next. Now that you know how to pitch, we're just going to talk about art. She's coming up next. Hang with us. We have this weekend golf. Do you have problems taking pills? You're not alone. A lot of guys do. So I have a suggestion for you. I want you to try BlueChew.com. Because at BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the active ingredients sildenafil or tadalafil. That's the same active ingredients as in Viagra and Cialis. And it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. There's no in-person doctor visits. There's no awkward conversations. There's no waiting in line at the pharmacy. This ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. Now, the chewables from BlueChew.com are made right here in the USA, and you and your partner will love it. Got a great offer, a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code GOLFGUYS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Golf Guys. Hey, chew it and do it. And order now, BlueChew.com/golfguys. Hi, this is John Ashton, and I'm going to make a confession right now. I don't work out anywhere near as much as I should. What that means is when I do play golf, sometimes I strain a little bit, stress out some muscles that probably I should work on. Now, whether you're an elite athlete, you're just a regular person like me, or you're just, you know, the stress of daily life is getting to you, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing, and it hurts. And that is why I use, and I suggest you do too, a Theragun. It's a handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And now it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. You can try a Theragun for 30 days. There is no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power you need, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/weekend right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/weekend. Theragun.com/weekend.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Of course, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/golfguys, facebook.com/golfguys. All right, thanks for hanging and coming back. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith, and as promised, Linda Harto, golf artist extraordinaire. And Linda, first off, thanks for coming back. We always love it when you're here with us on those Weekend Golf Guys. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Man, like Jeff had said earlier, it's not the Masters without Linda Harto here, because I mean, Masters art is what got you in Masters, basically, or Augusta is what got you involved in the whole golf art business, isn't it?
That's how I got started with doing golf art, absolutely, in 1984.
That's got to be something special when the folks at the Masters say, yeah, come on in, do a little picture for us, see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, they liked my landscape, so they asked me if I could do a golf course, and I said, sure. So I came out and did the 13th hole for the first time. You know, we did a little print and sold it at the 85 Masters, and of course it sold out. And they said, well, what about doing another one? I said, okay.
And over and over. Wash, rinse, repeat, right?
Right. That's... So we did one just about every year, every other year for the next 20-some years.
So have you done every single hole at Augusta National?
No, I've done 4, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 18. Like the 13th, I've painted 6 times. So,
is there anything different about the? I imagine there's got to be something different in all 6 of the renditions, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
completely different angles. I would imagine
different angles, different lighting, and you know, every year the bloom is different at Augusta. It's never the same.
What do you think the foliage would look like now?
It'll be pretty. I mean, there's fall color right now, and the camellias are, well, at least the sasanquas are just starting to come out. I've seen some of the pictures that they've taken for promotion. It's beautiful, you know. And I've been there before in the fall, too, and the winter. I used to go up there and take my reference photos. Sometimes you could get a different angle of the light hitting the green might be better in December rather than in spring.
I saw a photograph yesterday. Someone emailed me of hole number 12 covered in snow.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, that's a little, you know, not quite my style.
Well, you can, you know, Augusta, Georgia, still in the wintertime, you have to really pick a day to catch snow. I mean, that's kind of lucky to be there with a camera when there's snow on the ground there.
Doesn't happen too often.
Not at all. I remember when I was living in Atlanta, I was flying in to back home, and they delayed the flight because they had 8 inches of snow. It was in April, and it was a freak snowstorm, and they felt like 8 inches, but it was gone by 4 in the afternoon. Do you prefer mornings? I know a lot of artists prefer the lighting in the morning to do their work. Is that the best lighting for you, or do you not?
I like the mornings and the afternoons.
Okay.
It just depends on the hole, depends on so many things. But every course I go to, I look at it both in the morning and late afternoon, as well as every other time of day, because in your reference photos, sometimes too many shadows, you can't really see the contours.
Yeah.
So I'll take it in flat light, whatever. Just whatever, just to get all the information to be able to see, you know, what's actually going on in the hole.
I guess a question to ask is, were you a golf fan prior to the initial invite? And if not, have you become a golf fan afterwards?
Well, certainly afterwards.
Okay.
Beforehand, my father was an avid golfer, so I was always around it. We had a In Louisville, we were a big spring golf club.
Oh, excuse me.
And also, I was also a member of that Rock Creek riding club. So I spent most of my time at the riding club.
I got you.
But I did take lessons at Rock
Big Spring.
And play 9 holes at least.
Okay. Just as
now I'm an avid watcher. I watch.
Okay.
I love to watch other people play.
It's
a discipline, and what I do is a discipline too.
That's
so
true. You can appreciate the talent
absolutely.
Necessary.
Plus just there as a, aren't just room a, for more than one discipline in your life. I don't think.
That's probably true. I have no discipline, including self-discipline. So there you go. Just as an aside, my younger daughter got married and had her reception at Big Spring Country Club.
Oh, all right.
Largest check I ever wrote in my life, and it came with absolutely no free rounds of golf.
I asked
the guy as I gave him this check. I said, "And how many free rounds do I get with this?" And he just looked and smiled, and then he actually laughed. He said, "Oh, you're serious."
Of course you are.
Yeah, and that was it. That was the end of that discussion. So we moved on. Now you say you've become an avid watcher, and you're basically, I guess, an expression you could use. You're putting your company's money where your mouth is on that particular thing. You got a contest going on, don't you, about watching the Masters?
On my website, which is harto.com, and that's HARTOUGH. Right now, if you sign up for our emails, we're running a Guess the Winner contest, which we do quite often, actually, for most of the major tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guess the winner, you win a print.
Cool.
And for the Masters, we're giving away a limited edition print of the 16th hole,
which is
a beautiful print. Mm-hmm. And the original painting is actually owned by Jack Nicklaus. So.
Whoa, that's very cool.
So, but you have to sign up for the emails because that's the only way we do our Guess the Winner contest.
Sure. And it's hartough.com. Huh? Very cool.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the email will go out tomorrow to make your pick. So, it'll go out again Friday, too.
You have any suggestions, any advice? You know, anybody a little inside?
I never try to guess, really. It's just more interesting just watch it play out.
Yeah. I've always found it difficult to predict golf. For some reason, it doesn't work like other sports. Yes, last week's performance has absolutely nothing in common with this week's performance.
Kind of, yeah. It's such a cerebral thing that goes on between the body and the mind when it comes to golf.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the elements.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's so complicated.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that the field is different every week. You know, with football and baseball and basketball, last week's performance can kind of predict this week because everything else is constant.
Yeah.
But a golf course, it's not. Would you agree with that, Jeff, that it's hard to predict who's going to win based on who won last week?
Oh, yeah. I think it's, they're mutually exclusive events. A lot of people like to think, well, I won last week. I'm going to stay hot and I'm going to, of course, win 2 weeks in a row. I don't know of a time that I can ever recall where that's actually happened.
Yeah.
Well, Tiger maybe. But
that might be the best shot at it right there, you know, during his heyday of where he was beating the pants off of everybody.
Yeah.
I just think that there's such this ebb and flow in people, in the athlete themselves. And then I don't know what comes along with winning, but I do understand that there's a little bit of extra stress. Certainly you've played more golf than other people. Maybe you had to play in a playoff, maybe not. You had to hang around to get your trophy and your check and all that other fun stuff. Right. And then you didn't get to the next site on time. And so your schedule is a little thrown off. So, yeah. Sure, there's differences in each player, but then all of a sudden somebody else who was almost ready, maybe that somebody else is peaking that next week. It's so hard. It's so hard.
It's really fascinating, though, to watch it, though, just to see who is going to be able to win that battle.
And, we can't relate to that, the average golfer, because we can't predict next hole based on the last hole. So.
Yeah.
Gets very frustrating.
I can't even predict what John's going to say next. So it's really hard to know.
But the Masters is such a special event. And it's just really strange to have it at this time of year. I've noticed this whole year since the COVID thing hit, my whole seasonal rhythms were all around golf.
Mm-hmm.
Completely thrown off.
Yes.
Well, it's July. Well, that's open. It's August. Well,
Yeah.
And it's completely up in the air anymore. So I don't know.
I know. First off, they went and they screwed us all up by changing the schedule, and then this happened.
Yeah.
So there's no winning for losing here. Just one question though: when you first got to Augusta, because I know it's like hallowed ground for golfers.
Yeah.
Was there an emotional reaction or a visceral reaction or just an aesthetic reaction when you saw inside the gates for the first time? I mean, just that approach is beautiful.
Yeah, the whole place just has this otherworldly glow and perfection that just strikes you immediately, even just driving down Magnolia Lane. And But when you actually get out on the course, it's the elevation shocks you, first of all, because you just can't conceive of that without being there. And then the place just glows because of overseeding and that unreal green, which I've become an expert at rendering. I'm like the green expert now.
So that's the word.
Pigments and portraying all those different shades. But Augusta green is very special. It's really fertilized green.
And you're not going to find that even in the 128 box of Crayolas.
That's right. So I think that's the thing about it, is that it just glows and people aren't prepared for that.
Yeah, I can understand.
And everywhere you look, it's perfection.
And it is, and it, that beauty is captured very, very, very accurately and wonderfully in your artwork, too, I would like to say.
Yeah, I have photographs. Well, I've been photographing the place since 84. So sometimes, like I say, the bloom is different in different years, and I'll go back and look at another year's bloom. If the current pictures aren't too exciting, I'll go back and say, well, it looked good then that time, so we'll just say that it's that way again.
If you would like to win a print of a hole at Augusta, the same hole that Jack Nicklaus has the original hanging on his wall,
I would.
Go to harto.com and sign up for the email and predict who's going to win the Masters. HARTOUGH.com.
That's right.
And check out the artwork there, too, because you will be amazed, astounded.
Oh, there's
probably want to order
many U.S. Open courses, British Open, and Scotland, Irish courses. Well, I've been everywhere in the last 36 years.
once you got the golf bug, man, it doesn't go away, no matter how it affects you, whether you want to play it or just do picture art.
It's been a great career. I have to say, it's just, I had no idea when I got started with it in Augusta that it would go on like that. Mm. But it is. I still do private commissions for clubs and individuals, and occasionally, it just depends. I don't do too much of the actual tournament work anymore, like going to the actual U.S. Open and selling in the merchandise.
Oh, yeah. Why would someone of your caliber need to rub shoulders with the unwashed masses, Linda? Come on.
golfers are the greatest people in the world, I have to say.
Well, we're going to have to agree with that unequivocally.
Most of them bathe, John. Most of them bathe.
That's true.
They appreciate every course you do, and they're the best public I've ever had. And, because I've done other subjects before, and the golfers are by far the best.
Fantastic. Harto.com is the website, HARTOUGH. Go there in general principles, but go there now and predict who's going to win. Linda Harto, thank you so much for spending this Masters weekend with us here on Those Weekend Golf Guys.
I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Are you familiar with the Greek god of balls? His name is Testicles, a very minor mythological figure, I will admit. Every year they'd have this festival where the guys would get together and they'd pull out their nose hair and their ear hair. You could hear the screaming from miles away. That stuff hurts, but it doesn't have to. You can't live with it, though, because this stuff's gross. 79% of people asked said, yeah, nose hair, yuck. So what I need you to do is to check out a thing called the Manscaped Performance Package. This is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Included in this new package from Manscaped is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. It's waterproof. It uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. And the nose and the ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks and snags and tugs and all those delicate holes. Plus, in this bundle is included the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Testicles himself says this is the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. And the performance package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GOLFGUYS right now at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GOLFGUYS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code GOLFGUYS. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Make sure your balls look great during the process. Do it in honor of Testicles. manscaped.com/GOLFGUYS. And that about wraps it up, man. Again, art in all of its forms. The beauty of art, the art of pitching, the art of practicing, the art of being able to take the answer, it depends, and not let your head explode. And that, my friends, is an art. Let me tell you.
There will be no more itching about your pitching.
Ooh,
after this.
That's, how about like that? Huh? I like that. Yeah. Write that down. Maybe that we should put that on a T-shirt. Yes, indeed. Listen, I do want to throw out, you know, one thing. We don't talk too many sports other than golf, but you are an Indiana University fan. You still are celebrating because IU beat Michigan last Saturday. I do understand that the Michigan team went back home and found more points.
We need to get some lawyers.
They may have to. They may be fighting that loss. We're not sure, but we'll see.
We're declaring ourselves victors anyway.
Yeah, but Harbaugh has not yet conceded, so, you know. Inside scoop, who do you think is going to win today? Who did you have going into it?
I had certainly my favorite tour player in the world. I had Tyler Duncan, of course, right? And I also had JT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, certainly a Louisville guy, and next thing you know, emanates from a wonderful radio station in Louisville. So if we do not root for the Midwestern boys, we're wrong.
We are wrong, and we would never do that.
We need to be homers.
They did make a change, though, too, on the cut. The cut was the top 50 players, period, including ties. It used to be everybody within 10 strokes of the lead, didn't it?
I think that's true.
Yeah, this year they changed it.
I think that's true.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that shook out because we haven't seen any of it yet, to be perfectly honest with you. We are not live at this point in time.
I wonder what the deal is with the networks. You know, they've got NFL football and they've got the Masters, and they never have that. Right. But they've got it this week.
Yeah. And well, that's why ESPN's doing a lot of the Masters coverage. I know they're doing Thursday and Friday rounds, but we'll see how it all shakes.
Well, that'll be a big help to ESPN. They need it.
Certainly do. Those weekendgolfguys.com. You can go there and check us out. We really don't need the help, but we would welcome your participation, especially with our Facebook page at facebook.com/golfguys. You can join the group that we're putting together called the League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers. That's a lot of fun. And again, hang out in those groups and you will get some lessons from Jeff Smith. You never know when he's going to pop in, answer a question or two live. You will be alerted that he's coming on should you be members of those groups. That's all I got to say. Other than that, go practice your pitching and quit your other itching thingy.
Yes.
And go get some golf clubs and go play some golf.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.